Hi, I'm Robert Green, and welcome to another episode of Visual Studio Toolbox. In our previous episode, we looked at using link to XML to query data that comes down from websites. We looked at bringing down an RSS feed, pictures from Flickr, wines from wine.com, movies from Netflix, and I promised at the time that we would, in a future episode, look at using link to XML to write XML. Well, the future's today, so we're going to look today at using link to XML to not only query XML, but also write XML. So, let's switch over to my project. It's the same project as last week's link to XML demo, only this time there are two screens, one for querying, one for writing. And I will post the code for this on my blog, and you can replace last week's project with this week's. So here's last week's, by the way, but we're going to focus today on writing XML. So why would you want to write XML? Well, one reason is I want to be able to save information locally. So here's a really simple example. I want to save information on me. What's my name? Where do I live? And I want to be able to save that. And I want to be able to save it because, I'll close the application and run it just to show you that there are no tricks here, because I want to be able to get that information back. Now, when I retrieve that information, here's my name, here's where I live. So there are a number of ways of saving settings, application settings, or user settings. And this is, I guess, another example of that, because here we're actually writing this out as XML. OK, let's go look at the code. I've got, of course, both VB and C# versions of this. Let's look at C# first. So when I save, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fire up a new instance of xDocument, which represents an XML document, and that is in system.xml.link. And then I'm going to create a new instance of xDocument, and I'm going to first write a declaration. This is the first line of code that appears in an XML file. Then I'm going to write an element called settings, and then within that, I'm going to write an element called personal, and then within that, an element called name with the value of whatever I entered as my name. And then also within that, an element called location with the value of whatever I put in the location. And then I'm going to save this. So the xDocument class has a method called save. And I'm going to save it to my documents into a file called settings.xml. OK, let's look at that. Actually, we should get rid of all of these. I like to prove that this actually worked. So let's run this. Write the XML. And I'll enter a different name this time. Joe from Missoula. And I'll save that. And now let's go into documents. And here's the XML file that I just wrote out. So I've got settings. In settings, I've got personal, name is Joe, location is Missoula. So with a handful of lines of code, this being here, I have created an XML document and saved it locally. Okay? And now, when I want to retrieve it, so let's come back out here and retrieve this, I just need to read that. And here we're going to use the same techniques we used in the previous episode for querying. I'm going to create a new instance of xDocument, and I'm going to load that XML file. Last week, we loaded using URL, so we got the XML data from the web. Here, we're just going to load this from a file. So we open up settings.xml, and then we do a query. Get all of the descendants in personal, the elements that are descendants in personal, get name, get location, show that in a message box, and where is it? Here we are. Okay, pretty straightforward. Let's see what it looks like in VB. Now in VB, we could use code similar to this, but Visual Basic makes it easier to work with XML. Last week we looked at the access properties. Here we're going to look at XML literals. So I can create a new instance of X element here, and notice that I actually can write inline XML. So rather than have to create a new element and a new element and a new element, I can actually type those elements directly into my VB code. So settings, personal, name, and then In name, I've got left bracket percent equals, and now this is the actual value, nametextbox.txt. And I do the same thing for location, close out personal settings, and then save that as settings.xml. And then the code to read that is going to be very similar to last week's. Okay, so again, I can just type the XML directly in VB. So actually, I am currently running the VB project, so you've already seen this working. So no need to do it twice. You'll just have to trust me that the code works. Okay, so that's settings. That's fairly simple information. And you might be saying, well, yeah, I can already save settings, so what's the big deal? Well, the next example that I want to do is retrieving information from the web and then saving it locally. So here's what I want to do. I want to do a query out to wine.com and bring back a number of wines for a particular winery. And I'm bringing back the name and the detail information. And then what I want to do is save this locally, because I might want to disconnect and carry this information around with me. Now we've got a little bit more than just settings. We've got not necessarily a full relational database, but we have what's typically data. We've got a number of rows that would live in a table. I don't want to have to rely on having an instance of SQL Server Express or any of the SQL servers. I just want to be able to store this information in a structured format. And XML is great for that. If I have a whole bunch of data, if I have a number of related tables, then I might lean towards using a database. But here I've just basically got a single list of wines that I want to store locally. So XML makes a great option for that, because I don't have to assume there's a database. Then I don't have to worry about administrator passwords and permissions and whether or not there actually is a SQL database living on the computer. I just want to save it as XML. So the XML's already been saved in this example. Here's wines.xml, and here is the XML that gets written out. Okay, so let's see how that works. Let's look at the C# code first. So when I get wines, and this code is just leveraged from last week's example, we've got three namespaces. The query is wine.cloudapp.net, which is wine.com's OData feed, and I'm looking up a particular vineyard by ID, and then I want all of the products for that vineyard, and I want the name and the ID, and I pass my wine.com API key. Then I bring that information down and store it in this query here. Store it in query results, and then I'm going to query and get a list of the wines. So let's just run this. We'll do a little bit of a review here. And if I was running the C# version of this, the breakpoint would actually do something. So let's switch over to the C# code. Okay. So now the query results is this XML. And I can see that each of the wines is represented as an entry. And then under properties, here's the ID, here's the name. So I'm going to query the properties element and get the ID and the name. Okay, if there aren't any, then I didn't find any. And the reason I did that is because what I really need are the IDs, because to go get the information for each wine, I need to know its ID. I have the name here, but I want additional information. I want a little description about the particular wine. So this query brings down the IDs. Then what I'm going to do is create a new list of, a new generic list of wine, and the wine class has properties for title, summary, ID, and name. Actually, the title and the name are the same. It just, if you get the list of products, then you get a name, but when you actually query the individual wine, it comes back as title. So that's why this class has kind of duplicate properties. And then the summary is the additional text. Okay, so what I'm now going to do is create a new generic list of wine, and then I'm going to loop through each wine name in wines, and I'm going to grab the ID, and I'm going to send it back up to wine.com and do another query, products, filter on ID equals the ID for the wine, and that will bring me back information on that wine. There we go. If I'm patient enough, I can see that the information came back. So now I can see the title and the summary, which is the additional information I want. Okay, then I'm going to pull out just the title and the summary for that individual wine, add it to my generic list of wines, and then when I'm done, set the item source property of the list box to that. Okay, so let's keep running. And now what I have is, it's not going to show up yet, but I have the list box that displays the wines. Okay. Again, that's querying. Now what I want to do is save the wines locally. So I'm going to, once again, create an XML document. It's called WinesDoc. It's a new document with a new declaration, a new element, wines, and then I'm going to populate this using a query. So new element, wines, from wine in wines, select a new X element called wine, select a new X element called title, populate it with the title of the wine, a new element called summary, populate it with the summary for the wine, and then save it out as wines.xml. And it looks like this. So I get this information here that's in the XML document from the query of what came back. Okay? So I'm querying this collection of wines and then building the XML document from that query. I think that's really what I wanted to say. Okay, and so I have this information. Now I got this from the web. I've saved it locally. So now, again, just to show that there are no tricks up my sleeve, I'm going to read this XML document from the disk and read that information in the application and repopulate the list box. So now I'm offline. I still have access to that information. Now you can get as complicated with this as you want. You can store as much information as you want. You could store, you know, multiple wines. I think this would be good not only for the offline scenarios like this, but for keeping track of favorites. Right? The information on the wines comes from the web, but I have particular wines or wineries or movies or books or whatever it is that I'm querying that I want to mark as favorites, and I could save that information in XML, and then I could just view my favorites. Okay? All right, so over to VB. What's the code look like? Here we are. So get the web wines. This is all sort of a repeat from last time. I'm querying, and once I've populated the list box, now I'm going to save the wines locally. So I dim up wines.doc, which is X element. Here's wines, and then inside I've got my query from wine in wines. So again, wines is the list of those five wines I brought back. Do a query from that, and then select the inline XML right out. A wine element, within that write a title and slap in the wine's title, then a summary element and slap in the wine's summary, close it with wines and save it, and again it looks like this. Okay, so whether you do it in more of the longhand way in C#, which you can also do in VB, or the more VB specific shorthand way, it's pretty straightforward to write out XML. Now, I like to write the XML. When I'm doing this, I like to write the XML out to disk because I like to be able to see it. I like to be able to come in here and look at the XML that I've created and see that it's correct. But this is not actually a best practice because here's what's going to happen. A user is going to come in here and say, oh, what are these XML files? I don't need these, and clean out the My Documents folder, and now the application's broken because the data doesn't exist. So more of a best practice, rather than writing these to My Documents or a temp folder or whatever, would be to use isolated storage, which is, it's possible the user could ultimately find it, but it's way less likely. I'll leave that as a homework exercise for you, or maybe I'll do it and write it up on my blog. But I wanted to keep today's show shorter, since the last one was 38 minutes long. Yeah, I know there's a lot of good material there, but I kind of talked too long, so I wanted to keep today shorter. So that's it. That's the link to XML. Last week we looked at querying. Today we looked at writing. And now you know what you need to know to use link to XML in your applications. So I hope you enjoyed that, and I'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.